Imagine that if we're speaking a mere, less than 24 hours before Purim, so a topic which might be very relevant, not necessarily Purim, but rather happiness. Did you ever meet a person who was maxed out on happiness? You know, I know some people who are maxed out on money. They don't want any more. They have more than they can handle. It's driving them crazy. They have too much. I mean, not too many people like that. But I never met a person who says, oh, I'm happy. I don't need any more. I have enough happiness. Right? Do you ever meet such a person? No such person. Doesn't exist. Happiness is something that everybody desires and everybody craves to the fullest, to the maximum, and endlessly beyond. But I have a question I'd like to ask. It's bothered me for many years. You know, we live in a society that spends more time, effort, and money on the pursuit of happiness than probably anything else. Everybody, workshops, books, self-help, everything. Everyone's looking for happiness. And yet, if you look at any of the rates, the statistics, it doesn't seem to be a very happy place. Look at the suicide rates. Look at the divorce rates. And look at the depression rates. Look at the substance abuse rates. Look at the rates that mental health professionals can charge for 45 minutes. If we're such a society searching for happiness, how come nobody seems to be happy? Well, so few people seem to be happy. And I discovered many years ago, it's really very simple. Everyone's looking for happiness, but nobody knows what it is. Not only do we not know what it is, but society has given us an equation which is backwards. Happiness equals, what's the favorite word that people would fill in there?
Money.
Money, okay. All right, that's getting a little too specific. Let's be broader. Happiness equals?
Success.
Maybe somewhat. That may not be a bad, but most people say happiness equals pleasure, right? Our society does not know, they haven't distinguished between happiness and pleasure. I'd like to suggest to you what happiness means and see how that's relevant to our lives and see that's relevant even to the Purim experience as well. David HaMelech said, Achas sho'alti me'eis Hashem oiso avakesh, shivti be'beis Hashem kol yemei chayai. I have one wish. I want to sit in the house of Hashem, lachzeis b'noam Hashem, to bask in the sweetness of that presence of Hashem. That's David HaMelech wanted one thing, to be close to Hashem. That's all he wanted. Achas sho'alti me'eis Hashem. What did David HaMelech say about one who sits be'beis Hashem? Ashrei yoshvei be'secho. Right? Do you know what the word osher means? Ashrei? Osher means happiness. You know, it's really not relevant, but many, many years ago, I went to Israel for a date. In my days, they weren't doing that so often, to say the least. And I went out with this Israeli young lady. She barely spoke English. I barely spoke Hebrew. We got along great. But, and I guess on the first or second date, I asked her, what do you want out of life? And she answered, she was speaking Hebrew, I was speaking English. She said, Ani rotza liot me'usheret. I thought that meant rich. And I said, I'm out of here. When I found out that all it means is happiness, I was much more ragua. I was much more comfortable. And we got married. But anyway, so osher, aleph shin resh, ashrei yoshvei beisecho, that is a very high, maybe the highest form of happiness. In Loshin Kodesh, we know that the three-letter root is the essence of the concept. Every time you see this three-letter root in any word, it will always implant the same meaning in that word. And Aleph Shin Resh, the Shoresh is Ishur, validation. Happiness is about feeling good about oneself. That's the definition of happiness. A person who is happy is feeling good about him or herself. I feel good about myself. That's it. That's all I need. And that's why pleasure is such a misleading and false definition of happiness. Because when I am dependent upon outside pleasures, I need a drink, I need food, I need fun, I need thrill, I need whatever I may need from the outside. You know the message that it sends to me about myself? I'm trash. I don't feel good about myself. I need to take in from the outside constantly in order to get by the day, in order to feel temporarily good. That means I don't feel good about myself. To feel good about myself is true happiness, and the pleasures that I become dependent upon are sending me the message that I don't feel good about myself unless I have this, that, and the other thing on a daily basis, or I get addicted to something, or I'm constantly running from one thing to the other, and therefore inside there's nothing, it's empty, I don't feel good about myself. What do we do to really feel a sense of true happiness? What is that sense of feeling good about oneself? One of the most important ingredients in feeling good about oneself is a sense of purpose. You know, if a mental health professional sees a client and that client says, "I don't have any purpose in living," if that professional is a good professional, they will make sure that there's a suicide watch. Because a person who has no purpose in living is in danger. Because how could you live without a sense of purpose? I can't feel good about myself. I can't feel happy. So purpose is one ingredient. Purpose, and I would say meaning in life, is something that makes us feel good about ourselves, because I have meaning, I have purpose. There's something else that makes us feel good about ourselves. And this is something that has such a far-reaching ramification. The Rambam in Hilchos Purim writes as follows. He says, if a person has done the mitzvahs hayoyim, Megillah, even the Sudas Purim, the Matanas of Yoinim, and Shalach Monas, and has some extra money, what should you use it for? So he says, you should use it for Matanas Levyoinim. Why? Because Purim is a day of simcha. And we want to expand the simcha as much as we can. And he says, there is no simcha like the simcha of the person who rejoices the hearts of downtrodden people. Matanas Levyoinim, take poor people and give them chiyus. Why? Because one who does so is doime l'shechina. That person is emulating Hashem, is acting the way Hashem acts, and that is because Hashem is the posuk. He brings a posuk in the Novi that says, because Hashem is lahachyos ruach shvolim or lahachyos lev nitkoyim. Hashem uplifts brokenhearted, downtrodden people. And therefore, one who gives matonas levyoinim and rejoices the hearts of these broken souls is having the greatest simcha, and therefore, that's the best use of extra money on Purim, because Purim is to be such a day of simcha. Now, what happens when one rejoices the hearts of downtrodden people? Well, he says the reason for the simcha is because I'm emulating Hashem. Because that's what Hashem does. That's what I do. I'm like Hashem. I'm becoming more like Hashem. I'm conducting and patterning and modeling my life after the way that Hashem conducts himself. And that is a source of happiness. Now, that is certainly a source of validation. Because when I do acts that Hashem does, I feel godly. Wow, godly? I can feel that in a certain way, I am emulating Hashem. I'm like Hashem. I'm doing that, of course, not quite, but I am. And that makes me feel how good about myself, because I am this godly human being acting in a way that Hashem himself acts. And that's really why the simcha of rejoicing the hearts of these people is the greatest source of simcha, because I'm doing what Hashem does. And that is gives me that ultimate sense of feeling good about myself. And that's the key. When one feels good about him or herself, what more do I need in life? Now, the truth of the matter is that that's really the essence of our Torah. Because what are we told? We're given a Torah with mitzvahs, which, number one, is the purpose for which we were put on this world, to fulfill those mitzvahs. But the mitzvahs have a specific purpose in as well. If you study the Sefer HaChinuch, you'll discover that the tachlis and the te'elis, the benefits, the purpose of the mitzvahs, is to refine human character. Chazal say it very beautifully in the Medrash. It says, Lo nitno teiro u'mitzvos, elo litzaref b'enes habriyos. The whole purpose that Torah and mitzvahs were given was to refine human character. When we refine human character, we are fulfilling the purpose for which the Torah was given. We are fulfilling the purpose for which Hashem created the world. Because when we refine our character, when we become godly in our character, when we model our midos after the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then what happens is that we can connect with Hashem. We, number one, become capable of forging a relationship with Hashem because of the fact that we're like Him. You know, if I'm a shakran d'oraisa, a filthy liar, I can't really have a relationship with a very honest person. Or I would say at least that honest person can't have a relationship with me. Just, we can't communicate. If I'm an achzor, I'm a cruel person, then to be best friends with such a kind soul, it doesn't work. We have nothing in common. We can't connect. So unless our midos are modeled and begin to become refined and developed and perfected in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's very hard to have a relationship with Hashem, because we're not of the same stuff. He has a whole different way of looking at life. And look at the way I think. Look at the way... But when I'm godly in my midos, when I elevate myself to such an extent that I feel I'm conducting myself, Mahu Rachum, Afato Rachum, Mahu Chanun, Afato Chanun, Mahu Erech Hapayim, Afato Erech Hapayim. I'm constantly working and working to mold my character after Hashem and His Hanhoga and His conduct and His midas in the world. Then I uplift myself and I'm capable of connecting with Him. Number two, I become worthy of His gifts. I become worthy of His reward. I become worthy of all the schar that He gives me. And I become worthy of the ultimate pleasure, both in this world and beyond, is closeness to Hashem. David HaMelech said, Va'ani kirvas Elokim li toiv. Closest to Hashem is the ultimate good. And I can feel this when I work to develop myself. So a few things happen over here. As I perfect my midos, I become more godly. I feel better about myself. I feel validated. I feel good about myself because, hey, I'm like Hashem. I'm not quite, but I'm trying. And you know something? If you're offended by the concept of being like Hashem, you think it's too extreme, let me quote for you a Sifri. The Sifri says, the Pasuk says, Kedoshim tihyu, you should be holy. Ki kodesh ani Hashem elokeichem. I am holy, Hashem says. Sifri says, Yochol komoini. You might think that you should be as holy as Hashem. Talmud loimer ani Hashem elokeichem. Not quite. Did you ever hear such a thing in your lives? That if the Torah said, be holy, Hashem is holy means Hashem is above and beyond all the pchisus, all the lowliness of this world. You might think that it means you should be just like Hashem. Torah has to write a special pasuk to say, not quite. That means that the human being has infinite potential to be godly, to be like Hashem. So much so that if the Torah didn't limit it and say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, not quite, I would think that I could be mamish like Hashem. That's the greatness of a human being. That's the midas that we have within us. That's the koyach that we have that to achieve the greatest heights and the greatest connection with Hashem. So number one, that makes us feel so good about ourselves. Number two, it's the fulfillment of our purpose, which makes us feel so good about ourselves because we have a purpose. That means I can feel good about myself because I have a purpose. My life has a meaning. I have a goal in my life. And more than anything else, I have the right goal. Because who in the world can know the purpose of anything? I have no idea why this is. Maybe I do, but let's say, how would I know what this is? There's only one way to know for sure what the best use and what the purpose for which this was manufactured. I used to say consult the manual, but today they don't use manuals anymore, right? Everything is online. So you have to consult the manufacturer's instructions, right? So who knows the purpose for which something was made? Only the manufacturer. Who knows the purpose for which we were put in the world? Only the manufacturer. Except we don't like to call him a manufacturer. We call him the creator, the one who created us. So we now have our true purpose, because it isn't just like I decided. For example, I could say I came here to this community because I want to exterminate cockroaches. That's what I'm here for. I don't see any right now, but that's what I came for. That's my purpose. I raise a lot of money every year to exterminate cockroaches. I really do. But you know something? That's not a very noble purpose. That's nice. It's important, maybe. But you know, maybe I could do something better. Maybe I'm a little more talented than that. And more than anything else, is that the true purpose for which I was put in this world? But when I know my true purpose for which I was put in this world, wow, now I can feel so good about myself because I have a purpose. That purpose is noble. It's elevating myself to be that better and better, greater and greater, more perfected human being with my midos. And that purpose is the true purpose for which I was put in this world. And that allows me the ultimate connection with Hashem. And when I have this connection with Hashem, what can be more than that? I feel good about myself. I feel good about having a purpose. And I feel so close to my Creator. And I'd like to spend just a few moments talking about this relationship with Hashem, the relationship with my Creator. You know, many people are a little bit confused when you talk about relationship with Hashem. What does that mean, relationship with Hashem? How can we understand it? Now, the truth of the matter is that the full understanding requires the next stage in life. What do I mean? Shlomo HaMelech was the Chochem Mikol Odom. Nobody was smarter than Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech wanted to describe the relationship that exists between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. How did he describe it? Do you know where he described it? Where? Shir HaShirim. Do you know what Shir HaShirim is? It's a story about a husband and a wife. An estranged husband and wife. That they were separated. They had problems between them in their relationship. And they're still craving to come back together. The love is still intense and real despite the separation. This relationship between a husband and wife is the only way that the Chochem Mikol Odom Shlomo HaMelech was able to describe our relationship with Hashem. Because that's a human relationship, a deep human relationship, a bonded human relationship, a loving human relationship, a connected human relationship, our human relationship which connects in eternity. Because when the Torah says, V'hoyu l'bosu echod, Rashi explains, how do they become one, the husband and wife? Through having children. And they remain united and connected forever, even into future generations. Even after they leave this world, they're still connected. That relationship is ongoing and endless. And this is the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, it's really even greater. Because on a physical level, when a friend, so friends have friends and sometimes they become not friends anymore, fine. Relatives, okay, relatives have a better relationship, but sometimes relatives get estranged from one another. Husband and wife were living b'sholim b'shalva ad me'ev esrim shana, but eventually, the only thing that you could do is the tombstone can be, you know, what they write sometimes, the goyim write it more, together in life, united in death, or something like that. But it ends. There's one relationship that exists forever, eternally. That's the relationship between my neshama and its creator. That's an eternal relationship. It exists in this world. I can feel it in this world. I can live it in this world. I can appreciate it in this world. And it's a relationship that I feel today that's going on forever. Because when I leave this world, my neshama continues its relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that relationship is so important. That connection. How do we feel that connection? What can we do to develop that connection? And I think that's really maybe the most important message that we can walk away with. So I'd like to suggest, number one, making myself like Hashem is definitely a major first step in that relationship, as we have explored until now. Because if I am godly in so many ways that He is, then I can relate and connect and have the potential for that relationship. But I want to take it further. Well, how do I take it further? You know, I talk to Hashem when I daven. That's part of a relationship. I talk to Hashem. I ask Him. I thank Him. I praise Him. I have a conversation with Him. And when I need something, I tell Him about it. And I'm not embarrassed to ask Him for the smallest little thing. The Chayyodim writes in a tzavot to his family that at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, before you step back, it's appropriate in any language that you speak to ask for personal things, whatever they may be. Nothing is too small. Because Hashem wants us to have everything. He only wants to be able to justify giving us everything that we want. Yes, everything that we want is what He wants to give us. But there's rules of chesed, rachamim, and mishpot. He wants us to earn it, because if we don't earn it, we don't appreciate it. We'll be embarrassed to buy it. We won't feel it. So true chesed is when you earn. What's the highest form of tzedakah?
Giving someone a job.
Giving someone a job. Because he earned it. He didn't take a gift. He didn't take a handout. He didn't take a donation. He earned it. Feels so good. So Hashem wants us. But He really wants to give us everything. So we talk to Him. And we ask Him. And we try to strengthen ourselves through the tefillah to develop a sense of trust in Him. The Goyin writes in Avnei Eliyahu, in the Siddur HaGro, that the sherish of the word tefillah is really the sherish of Re'oi Ponecha Lo Pilolti, that Yaakov said to Yosef when he saw him, after not seeing him for so many years, he says, I never allowed myself, Rashi says, Lo Imla'ani Libi Lachshav, I never allowed my heart to think optimistically that I'd ever see you again. It's like an optimism. It's like a bitochon. Like, I'm hoping to Hashem. I'm relying on Hashem. I'm counting on Hashem. I'm optimistic to Hashem. And that's what tefillah does for us. And we ask Hashem, and Hashem responds to tefillah. He's the shemei tefillah. And we know that tefillah is a machzor. Now, we know that sometimes the answer to tefillah is not no. Tefillah always accomplishes something. But sometimes the answer is not now. The Imohis, Sora, Rivka, Rochel, and even Leah would have had to, if not for the fact, Vayar Hashem kisnu aleo, were akoros. Why, Chazal tell us? Lomo nisakru ho Imohis, shehakodesh Baruch Hu misave letfilosen shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu craves the tfilos of the tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu craves, He has cravings. He needs our tfilos. It does something for His ego? What's His problem? Chas v'cholila. He craves it because it's for our benefit. It brings us close to Him. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we turn to Him in tefillah, we're connecting ourselves with Him.
And when we connect ourselves with Him, HaKadosh
Baruch Hu, we forge that relationship, and that's what Hashem wants. He wants that hiskarvus, that we should be close to Him, and in that loving relationship, He loves us, and we love Him, and the tefillah brings us closer and closer. But some people wonder that, oh, okay, I appreciate that, but on the other hand, I'd like a couple of answers. I don't really have friends that I talk to but don't talk to me. Well, maybe they do. I don't know what you people do, but they text. But other than that, friends should talk. If I say something to you, you got to answer me. Otherwise, what kind of friendship is that? So, but He does answer us. In fact, I'll tell you a secret. Oftentimes, He answers us before we even ask. His Ashkocha Protis in the world has put in motion every aspect of Chesed that He has, and He's constantly taking care of our needs. Constantly. And sometimes we have to open our eyes to see that Hashem took care of it even before we asked. It's already done. Before we asked, it was taken care of. So He does answer us. He does communicate with us. He communicates with actions that speak louder than words. The chesed that He does to us every day of our existence, the general things, the usual things, the universal things, and the individual things are Hashem's answer to tefillah. But there's another answer which I want to share with you, which is also very interesting. Hashem did the most amazing thing at Har Sinai. And on Purim, we know, Kiblu Mashe, Kiblu Kvar, that the Klal Yisrael was able to be Mekabel the Torah with a new sense of Kabbalah HaTorah, as the Chofetz Chaim explains, at Har Sinai, they were in the Midbar. They had man to eat every day. They had Anane HaKovoy. They had this idyllic life. And they were wondering, what's going to be if we don't have this? What's going to be in the Golus? How are we going to survive? How are we going to keep the mitzvahs? Can we maintain such a commitment? And Purim, we saw that under the worst conditions, we do tshuva, Hashem is still with us. Hashem took care of, saved the Klal Yisrael from the clutches of Amalek. Haman could have destroyed, wanted to destroy, couldn't destroy, but he wanted, he attempted. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us. So we see that the Torah can be maintained even in the future golus, even in the difficult situations, even to this very day. And that's the lesson of Purim. But what did He give us at Har Sinai? At Har Sinai, He gave us how to conduct our lives. And I want to suggest to you that there was even more than that. Because the how to conduct our lives that Hashem gave us are really His answers to our tefillahs and how to live the good life in a generation which is 3,300 plus years away from Mivan Har Sinai. What do I mean? Let's look, for example. One fulfills the mitzvahs of the Torah. So one knows that's the way to go. If I have a decision to make, I want to know, is this the proper thing or not? The first thing I look at is it proper according to halacha? Is it within the confines of the directives that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us at Har Sinai? And that way I know that I'm doing the right thing. And that way I know that that's the road to success. And that way I know that that's the life that I'm supposed to lead. So He's still directing us. And I would like to suggest to you, no, let me give you another example. You don't know what to do. You have a very difficult decision. I know today, someone called me about a very difficult, going to Eretz Yisrael, they're supposed to leave, they're not supposed to leave, they're coming from California, they're going to be quarantined, they don't know what to do. Sometimes the answer is, Sheval Ta'aseh Odif. Chazal tells us, sit tight, better to do nothing than to do the wrong thing. But that's a way, according to Chazal, to make a decision. And I want to suggest to you that Hashem, at Har Sinai, 3,300 plus years ago, when He gave this, He taught Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh to Moshe Rabbeinu, when He gave this directive called Shev Al Taseh, better do nothing by sitting, by not doing anything than to kum vaaseh, to do the wrong thing. When He gave that directive, He had in mind each and every one of us. Each and every one, in every life situation, any time in any generation, when we have to make a decision, all of the principles of the Torah, of Chazal, of decision making. You know, if you don't know which way to turn and you're driving, what are you supposed to do? Turn to the right. That's Hashem who told us at Har Sinai. He told it to you. That you, if you don't know where to go, turn to the right. He talks to us. He is capable of talking to us from the mountain 3,300 years ago. And that message is still relevant and reverberating today. So to say that we don't have a relationship, to say that there isn't a connection, to say that no, it's real. We talk to him. And that's what one wise man once said. When I daven, I talk to Hashem. When I study Torah, he talks to me. The messages of the Nevi'im, the messages of the Chumash, the messages of Chazal, all of the Das Torah that we have for thousands of years, these are Hashem's directives to us that were given at Sinai, how to live our lives. So we have a relationship. There is a communication. It's an amazing level of communication. But you know, sometimes we forget that it's really Hashem that's running the world. I'd like to ask you a question. You know, on Purim, there seems to be a mitzvah that some people just cherish, maybe more than any other mitzvah. And they're more makpid and machmir on that mitzvah than any other mitzvah. You know what that mitzvah is? What? You said it. Drinking. And how much do they drink? What's the shear? What? No, we know. What? No! Adelo Yoda! How could you forget that? Adelo Yoda! Until you don't know the difference between Boruch Mordechai and Orur Homon, between Brucha Esther and Arura Zeresh, Rebbeinu Shalalem. How do we dare say such a thing? We should expect the person to come to the point where he might say, Orur Mordechai and Boruch Homon? What's going on? Why did Chazal choose that one concept? How much to drink? How much to lose yourself? How much to lose your reality? Oh, to the point where you won't know the difference between Boruch Mordechai or Orur Mordechai. Boruch Homon or Orur Homon. Mapitom, what's going on? What's that all about? I'd like to suggest the following. In the story of Purim, the story as it appears in the apparent reality, in the world that we see with the naked eye, Haman was the villain. Haman, Bikesh lahashmid la'arig ul'aveg eskol ha'yuhudim minar v'adzoken taf v'noshi b'yerechot. Can't be a greater villain than that. Mizera Amolek. His goal was to eradicate and exterminate and annihilate the entire Klal Yisrael. Mordechai, Esther, they were the heroes. Esther put her life in danger. Mordechai was through his tefillahs and through his musar and through the tshuva that he got everyone to do. Whatever, they saved the Klal Yisrael. That's what it appears. But you know what happened behind the scenes? When you read the Megillah, there's one being or individual or name that's missing. Which is it? Hashem. What's that all about? Because the inyan of Purim, of the Nes Nistor, is to discover Hashem. Is that we realize everything seems, oh, a coincidence. Oh, there was Vashti, then there was Esther, then there was Mordechai overhearing, then there was this, then there was that. And before you know it, Revach Latzolo Yamad La Yehudim. We discover that what seems apparently to be a chain of coincidences is in reality completely and totally orchestrated by Hashem. So in the apparent world, in the physical world that we see villains, heroes, coincidences, events taking place, history unfolding. But the real world is Hashem is doing everything. So Chazal came along, and this is just a suggestion. Chazal came along and said, drink on Purim Adlo Yoda. What does that mean? What happens when you drink?
shouldn't know from it. What happens when you drink? What happens is that you lose consciousness almost of the apparent reality. They used to say if a person has a serious cold and they want to get cured, you should hang a hat on the wall opposite your bed, lie down in bed with a bottle of alcohol, and when you see two hats hanging over there, then you know you're going to be cured. What is drinking? It takes the reality in front of us that we see with our eyes, and we lose it. We don't see clearly anymore. What comes out? Nichnas yayin, yotzasui. The true emotions come out. Deep down, every Jew knows that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that runs the world. That knows that Haman couldn't do anything unless Hashem gave him reshus, and Mordechai couldn't save the Klal Yisrael unless Hashem wanted them to be saved. So everything is really Einoy Milvadoy. But we live in an apparent world where we see villain, hero, coincidences, activities, history, and current events unfolding. And the lesson of Purim is to let ourselves go beyond what it seems and to let the inner sense of what it's really all about, that Hashem runs the whole world and we have this close relationship with Him and He's constantly taking care of us. And under the worst circumstances, that's what we say in the Shoshanat Yaakov Lohidia, Shekol Koivecho Lo Yevoishu. Anyone who puts their trust in Hashem, their hope in Hashem, and anyone who's going to put that deep-rooted trust and take refuge in Hashem will never be disappointed. Will never, never be disappointed. Because we realize that it's Hashem that runs the world. We live in a physical world. We think we see this, we see that. Forget it all. Lose it for a moment. Become oblivious. Don't see the reality that everybody sees, the false reality, the apparent reality. But let the emotion come through. Forget what you know about the world. I don't know Baruch, Mordechai, Oruch, Homa. I don't know from nothing. All I know is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And that's really the lesson, I believe, of Purim. And when we realize the extent to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, we can develop such a relationship with Him. Because then, in no matter whatever difficulties and challenges we face in life, we know we turn to Hashem not only b'tefillah, but Purim teaches us, lohidia, to teach us from the tshuva that happened, the worst situation, the annihilation of Klal Yisrael was on the brink. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in hidden miracles that we didn't realize until it all happened, He started 12 years before, I think, with the whole parsha. And all of a sudden, it unfolds. Lohidia, shekol kivecha lo yevoishu. Anyone who recognizes that it's all up to Hashem, and he hopes to Hashem, lo yevoishu, he won't be embarrassed for that. Hashem will respond to him. And that should be the lesson for life. We have to learn from Purim that no matter how challenging the world is, today we're in a world of great challenge. Today is a week of real confusion. People don't know what's going on, what's going to be, the dangers that exist, what to do, where to go, what to... And it teaches us, shekol kevecha lo yevoishu. If we recognize that we have a deep-rooted, loving relationship with Hashem, and we put all of our trust in Hashem, we'll never be disappointed. We'll never be embarrassed. We'll never be let down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help that through this Purim experience that we're about to begin tomorrow night, that we should be able to reconnect with Hashem in a dimension that we never imagined could really happen. Beyond anything that we've experienced each time, more and more and more. To realize that when we talk to Hashem, He listens. To realize that when we study His Torah, He guides us and directs us how to live our lives. And if we can strengthen that kesher that we have with Hashem, then we can truly be zeiche to the strength, to the emunah, to the bitochin, to be able to face all of life's challenges and all of life's difficulties. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help
that we should rise to that occasion, and whatever challenges we may face, we may be facing, we may have to face, and those challenges which Klal Yisrael has to face, should all be resolved in a way that's positive, in a way that's Yeshua and Harvocha and a Geula Shleima, in bischus of the fact that we've strengthened our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.